Field Show presented by Karen University. I'm Rob Motti with Doug Horton and Pastor Kyle Horner. We want to thank all of our new listeners in Alabama on the Joy FM sports site and in Pennsylvania on 107.5 Alive. We love the feedback that we're getting from all the listeners. They're calling up. They're thanking stations for airing our show. Guys, how cool is that?
It's been awesome. Those stations have been great to work with. You know, later we have a guest on our Faith in the Field segment with Matt Johnson, who is basically the sports director for Joy FM. But can you imagine, you know, we're down in Alabama.
And he reached out to you.
He did. And he just kind of messaged us through Facebook, Faith in the Field, you know, just Facebook. You can hit that anytime if you want.
So he just
reached out to us and he said, hey, he just said, absolutely. He said, this is what we're doing down here. Would you guys like to be a part of it? And it's been great to work with. And they're doing some awesome things. We'll talk about it later in the show. But, you know, from 107.5 FM, which is here in Pennsylvania, it's right outside Philadelphia. We just aired our first episodes a couple weeks ago, and they're already sending us feedback from callers that are calling in saying, hey, I you know, this is great. I'm listening to these guys. I couldn't turn it off. And it's nice to get that feedback. You know, social media is nice when you get some likes, but have people saying, this is actually making a difference, and I'm really enjoying the program. You know, we appreciate it. So it's been nice to work with them.
It's different because it takes, like, it's one thing for somebody to like something on social media or to comment on social media, but to hear a show, right, actually pick up the phone.
Yeah, to take the time.
Pick up the phone, call the station. Like, you know you're not going on air. Like, I do talk radio, and you don't get fans who are going to call in to the station program director and say good things like these people are doing. They're going to call in and say, this person, get on in, all that stuff. You know, but that's the neatest thing.
One of the best calls was an old, and you can tell she was an old lady, and she's sitting, she's like,
I don't like football.
I don't like football, but I couldn't leave my apartment. I appreciated what the coach was saying. It was a Doug Peterson episode. She was listening
to
that.
Cool.
And, you know, for somebody that says, I don't watch football, I don't listen to football, I don't have an interest in sports, but I couldn't turn the program off. You know, that means a lot. And Kyle, we've heard from a lot of people, especially as the Philadelphia Eagles made their Super Bowl run for the faith that they had, that people were like, I'm becoming a football fan just because of the foundation of these guys.
Yeah, 100%. And I think, which we'll talk about later on with Joy FM, you know, it's finding different ways to bring the gospel, different avenues, different means by which bringing the gospel into people's homes, bringing it into our marketplace, bringing it into our world. And that's what the show is. That's how it was birthed. That's the vision of it. And I think it's really encouraging to me as a pastor, because it every time these things succeed and make significant difference, as we're seeing, it encourages and lifts everyone else. You know, the there's just a common belief that, you know, all the tide rises all boats, right? All boats are risen by the tide, and the more that shows like this, people see a way to bring the gospel, to bring Christian witness, to bring faith into their marketplace, into their communities, through different avenues, man, everything rises.
I'm going to give you one shameless plug, which, you know, we're not ashamed of, but Birds of Prey.
Correct.
You know, let's talk about that for a second. Rob, your book's doing great. That's out there.
Thank you.
Some book signings over the past couple of weeks. We have more coming up.
It's been so cool to see so many people coming out. We had a book signing at Fellowship Bible Church. Mm-hmm. What was it? I signed over 100 books in about 40-45 minutes. My hand was crimped up at the end. I went from writing a novel to everybody to, like, you got the Jesus loves you, man.
John 3:16, scribble.
But people are getting the books and they're saying, I'm going to give them to my 12-year-old grandson, or I'm going to give to my friend that's not a believer. I'm going to encourage another friend that is a believer that just loves sports, that's in Florida or they're in the Army. And it's God working through that. And it's a story about football team that won the Super Bowl, but it's a story about their walk with Christ.
Absolutely.
And, you know, if you're out there and you have somebody that potentially could benefit from that, you know, go on our website. Rob will sign a copy. And, you know, sometimes it's just a real big encouragement to people that can get that signed copy and read through it and just find Jesus through it.
Man, we just had our friend Tim
Sloan
send a message saying he told his mom about it. She said, I'm not going to read anything about football. Wasn't a football fan or whatever.
And Tim's a Falcons fan,
Oh, I'm sorry about that.
Is his mom a Falcons fan?
I think it's his mother-in-law, actually.
Oh, mother-in-law.
So she's working with a mother-in-law.
And then she apparently went out and got it. He didn't even give her a copy. She went out and got it on her own.
Wow.
And she couldn't put it down. Yeah. So that's really cool. And you know what I love is that as we talk to Matt Johnson later on from Joy FM Sports, we're not the only people doing this show. We're doing something like this. There's other shows like it that are starting or have been starting and are coming out there. And whereas in sports radio, what I do is so competitive, I never think this should be competitive.
Yes.
This should never be a competition because we're all trying to do this for the kingdom. We're all trying to we're all working for the same team.
That's right.
It's not about ratings boost. It's not about likes. It's not about any of that stuff. It's all about serving the Lord. And if we can do it, someone else can do it. I know there's a former football player. He's got a show like that too. Former quarterback. Is it Brock Hewitt?
I think so.
Brock Hewitt's got one, right?
Yeah.
He's got a similar show like this. Jason Romano has one with Sports Spectrum. Yeah. So it's really cool to see these different things popping up there. So whoever you, whether you're watching, listening to our show, one of theirs, their podcast, or as long as it's sports and faith and it's getting people to talk about Jesus, it's awesome. And as always, we got to thank our listeners on our home station, 610 ESPN Philadelphia, where it all started for us. Guys, I had a tough time deciding on one theme this week because our guest, former NFL kicker Matt Stover, touched on so many interesting topics in our interview. He is a mature Christian, a very insightful guy, and he hit on several points that are important, and they could be broken out into separate episodes. So we'll highlight them after we hear from him next segment. But what I want to do is focus on one point where he said he didn't hear the gospel for the first time until after he reached the NFL. And even though he had been going to church before and heard it, he wasn't listening.
Yeah.
And I wonder how many quote-unquote Christians out there may be in the same boat. Going to church, sitting through a service, hearing the gospel message,
yes,
but not really listening. So I'm going to call the show today. We're going to call this, Are You Listening? Are You Listening? Because that was me for so many years. I went to church. I heard the gospel. I didn't listen to it. I heard the stories. All of it. I left Jesus to church. I did my own thing the rest of the week. And you know my story. I've told it here several times, and I mentioned it in The Birds of Prey in the intro, which is my book about the Super Bowl champs, the Eagles from last year. If you want to go back to episode 52 of Faith on the Field show, I shared my entire testimony.
It's powerful.
Powerful. I appreciate that, guys. But I want to ask people, how many of us out there are not listening? How many Christians are going through the motions, hearing a sermon on a weekend, but not really listening to the message? We're so quick to blame the pastors. Oh, I'm not getting out of anything. Yeah, I'm not getting anything out of this message. It's not for me. I'm all good in that department.
Yeah, I'm all good.
He wasn't talking to me. You know, I didn't need that lesson today. But are you really listening? Because if you're really listening, right? If there's something in it for you, and I know you're not going to say this, Pastor Casa, you know, if you open your heart to hearing God's word, he has a message for you every time. If you're really listening, if you're really listening, it would impact you some way, somehow. It could be a small way. It could be a big way. But we as Christians need to constantly, right? We need to constantly change. If we're the same person, we have to evolve. If I'm the same person this year as I was last year, as I was 5 years ago, 10 years ago, then I'm not listening.
Yep.
We're not hearing God speak to us. We're supposed to be growing. We're supposed to be becoming a better version of ourselves every year. But in order to do that, we need to listen. We need to listen to the voice of God. We need to listen to those gospel messages that we hear. We need to listen to, there's a voice inside of us sometimes. I call it the Holy Spirit.
It is.
That's the voice telling us that, you know, ignore when you want to ignore when you're doing something wrong, right? But it's telling you, no. You got to listen to God speak. You got to listen to the Holy Spirit guide you. Pastor Kyle?
Yeah, I mean, I think the reality is that we all are listening. We're just filtering it through very different personal filters. And so, you know, I think, Rob, a lot of times our first filter is we filter it through how I can hear this for someone else. So we're always looking for how someone else
you
or something
go help
else can
somebody
hear
this message.
You know who should hear this message? My aunt, my sister, my friend. They really should need that message. And because down deep inside, if we're honest, the Word of God is always transformational, not just informational. Uh-huh. So, you know, knowledge, the Bible says, puffs up, but love builds up. And so the Word of God, the transforming power of the Word of God is that it's founded in the love of God. And so that Word should be drawing us into a love encounter with Jesus Christ, a deeper love with Jesus Christ. But when we only allow it to go into our mind, when we only allow it to increase our knowledge, our information, it stops short of the transformation. And so we, I think one of the challenges for all of us is to be able to go in at any time, whether we go to the Bible in the morning, whether we're listening to a podcast, whether we're in church on Sunday morning, whether we're having a godly conversation with a friend, to be able to say, "What? How can this word is a seed, how can it transform my life? What is it meant to produce in me so that I can actually give away?" We can only give away what we have, right? So it has to start in us. And Isaiah 55 says, incline your ear, to me. Come and listen to me. There actually has to be a time when we incline our ear. It's not just listening.
Not recline.
Right,
not,
right. It's not recline.
Not a decline bench.
Yes. Incline. And that actually means lean in. Lean into me. Lean in. Give me opportunity to speak into your life. But I will say this as well, just to sow encouragement. The truth is, the disciples were with Jesus for 2 years, and they still didn't know, right? Matthew 16, right. Who do people say that I am? They've got all sorts of different ideas. And then Peter goes, "Oh, I remember who you are. You're the Christ." And Jesus said, "You didn't come up with that yourself. My Father revealed that to you." Yeah. So the truth is, as our audience is kind of processing this, can I really encourage you? You know, there is a journey to take. There's a journey of revelation that we get to come to, but we can make a choice to whether lean in on a Sunday morning, lean in when the word's being produced, lean in to when we're having a godly encounter, or actually the lean back. And I want to really encourage people to lean in, because every time we lean in, the Bible says, "Come near to me and I'll speak into you. Come near to me, plant the seed, yeah, and there will be a harvest." You know, there's always a transformational moment after the seed is planted.
That's beautiful. Distractions can be such a big reason. Like,
oh,
as you
absolutely
were saying,
yeah,
distractions in life, distractions in wake. I always talk about waking up in the morning and, yeah, and you're looking at your phone because sometimes it's your alarm clock.
Absolutely.
And now before you even say anything else, you're looking at the alarm clock. Doug, you got a ton of things that you're involved in that, yeah, you go through in life, that you've got another child on the way. So there's a lot that is trying to rob you of your time,
yeah,
in the gospel, trying to rob, yep, you from listening. So how do you prioritize that?
Well, Rob, I think the most honest message is that I haven't. I failed many times. And I think this is something, because we talk about it on the show, because it's being prevalent in my life, that you got to put your action to the message that's,
yeah,
being delivered,
yeah,
to you. So what I'm trying to do now is eliminate distractions,
yeah,
eliminate things that are taking away from the time of my priorities. So if we set our priorities accordingly, then we find out what's taking all of our energy, our mind, our thoughts, all of our passion away from our top priorities. And if the things that don't really matter, then we need to get rid of it. And honestly, in my life, that's what I'm starting to look at and saying, hey, what can I get rid of,
yeah,
to allow me to be better, yep, at the things that I'm passionate about, that need to be the priority in my life. And part of that is listening to Christ.
Yeah, we multitask. You know, in our culture today, we're so,
yeah,
multitasking that
constantly.
we've convinced ourselves that hearing and listening are the same thing. That just because I heard something,
yeah,
that I've actually listened to it. No, hearing is a physical act of, mm-hmm, receiving information. Listening is the application of that information. So there's a lot of time. Look, we'll say to our wives, "I heard you.
I heard you.
And they're like,
the
"You did not hear me," right? Because you're, yeah, not doing it. What they're saying is you're not listening to me.
Yeah.
But in our society, where we're so highlighting multitaskability, we have learned to live in distraction and call that normal. We've learned to hear. That's what Jesus says.
Yeah.
So many people are hearing and never perceiving. What he's actually saying is, great, you are hearing it, you're bringing it in, but you're not able to apply it.
We also think that a multitasker is somebody that's really, really good, right?
Right.
I'm able to do a multitude of different things. What I'm learning to find out that a multitasker is somebody that's spread really thin.
Yeah,
and
absolutely,
you may not really be good at one single thing.
What do they
thing
say? Jack of all trades, master of none.
There
you go.
Yeah.
You know?
And the cool thing is that Matt Stover is going to talk about how he was hearing the gospel, but he wasn't listening,
yeah,
and that's something that can really be such a difference maker. But I think part of that is you also have to have the heart. Like, you have to go in there with the heart, the mindset that you want to listen.
I want to be changed.
Yeah, you got to want it. You got to want a little bit of that.
But I do think, Rob, sometimes we choose out of preference and not out of principle. You know, I call it podcast roulette. You know, so right, you'll go to a podcast and you'll scroll through it to to find a subject you want to hear.
I need help in this area.
Yeah, I need help. Or a lot of times we're even saying, hey, I'm really good at this, so I don't mind listening to that because it's less convicting.
It's going to make me feel better about myself.
So, and that's where I'll just really encourage our audience. Get plugged into a Bible-believing church because you don't just need to be instructed. You actually need to be pastored. And that's why your pastor will be able to bring words to you on Sundays throughout the week that you may not prefer to hear, but that your spirit needs to hear. Because
that's the good point. You don't want to hear.
Absolutely. It's not podcast. Look, podcasts are great for... it's icing on the cake, but when we actually just eat the icing all the time, mm-hmm. When we only play, you know, it's the same with Bible roulette. You open up your Bible, stick your finger down. Oh, okay, I'll read that verse. Yeah, but the Holy Spirit's speaking something, and we can't always pick out a preference. We really have to pick out of that the principle of God that says get under biblical teaching, get connected to a biblical community. Because you actually need to be pastored for your life.
Doug, I could do it's not a shameless plug because he wouldn't allow it, but Connect Church in Cherry Hill and Randolph, right. New Jersey and that's Philadelphia, right. PA is a Bible-believing church where I happen to go when I'm not doing a book signing covering a football game or on the radio on a Sunday. He's making
great
me feel... But I do
too.
Go back to the podcast, Ben. I do go back. Hey, no, my wife and kids go...
That's the
go,
power
but,
of the podcast.
But I'm going to the podcast. Yeah. I mean, it's
No, but Rob, see, I want to encourage you on that because you're absolutely right. And for people out there that are actually working...
I beat myself up over it.
Look, that's part of what God is calling you to do. So that's the power of a podcast in a local church. Mm-hmm. Because if you find yourself throughout the week being out there doing what you have to do as part of your vocation, then the podcast, as you're listening to it and applying it, you're still being pastored through the vision of God that God has for that local church. And it's not just a local church, because it's not a local church building. It's a local church people. So God has a voice for you to hear. And I actually appreciate when you, because you do, I'll encourage you a lot. I'll give you a shout out. You text me a lot during the week. Be like, dude, you wrecked me on the podcast. And I'm like, oh, Rob, listen. That was good. And we do, of course, every pastor's going to want you there on a Sunday.
Well, what happens is Remy comes and she's like, you had to hear Pastor Kyle. I'm like, I'm going to have to go. I got to go listen to it. And when it was Pastor Kyle and Pastor Danielle and you guys were in your tracksuits, I went back and watched that one. And I go back and I try and watch them and I try and listen to them. I want to get in there. I want to get into church and I try and rearrange my schedule, but it's tough during football season. And then we talked about the NFL players. We've talked about the
Absolutely
Eagles
right.
and we've talked about all the guys in the NFL. We did a show on this last year, Be the Church, mm-hmm. where I think it featured Kareem Hunt from the Kansas City Chiefs, where it's difficult for that 6 month period of time for those guys,
no
but they find church together when in community, Bible study Mondays and Tuesdays and Thursdays or what they're doing the night before. So it's really cool to see that. It doesn't replace though.
It'll never replace.
Let me give
that.
You a quick example though. A real practical example is, you know, I was painting the nursery for my new daughter that's coming, and I'm listening to my wife, and I'm painting the room, but I'm listening to a fantasy football podcast, and I'm going through it. I know, I'm thinking about that.
Wait, stop!
He just talked about the stress, right?
I get about 10 minutes in, and I'm like, you know what? What am I doing? Right, and I need to eliminate.
What are you doing?
So what did I do? I turned on Pastor Kyle. Okay. What are you wearing? Sermon, which was phenomenal sermon, right? But then you know what? It's not just for me because Rob, we were talking this morning, right?
Yeah.
And that sermon, was it for me? I got a lot out of it. I really enjoyed it, and I think it was time well spent as opposed to listening to, you know, fantasy updates and everything.
Don't stop, man, with the fantasy.
But through
we need to get those notifications. Just getting a notification from this guy. Oh, Rob, you just tweeted something. Why does your phone tell you if I tweeted something?
That's right.
Come on, stop with that.
But you know what? We were talking. You were struggling with a little something, and I was able to just pull something that was fresh in my mind—not a fantasy football stat, but something that
was
appropriate.
Like, remember, you heard Pastor Kyle a couple days ago.
Yeah, absolutely. So I think the more that we stay in that and we prioritize, it feeds our soul, it feeds our mind—not for us, but that I could give it to somebody else.
Yeah.
That just happened today, and you know, I'm really thankful I didn't waste my time you know, furthering listening to fantasy football.
With the fantasy football. It's interesting, Doug, that you just said that, because when the children of God were wandering in the wilderness, right? Every day, every morning, they had to go out and pick up manna.
Yeah.
And whoever went out and picked up manna brought it back. And not only did they eat from it, but they distributed that manna. But that manna didn't last.
Yeah.
Right? If they tried to keep it and live off of 2 days ago's manna, it got maggots and moldy.
Yeah.
And we can't live off of yesterday's word that God gave us. We can't live just off of yesterday's sermon. There needs to be that really kind of continual fresh impartation into our lives.
That's the only way we can consistently change, continue to evolve,
correct,
continue to grow, continue to mature, continue to become a better version of ourselves in our faith, in our walk. And it all comes down to listening. It all comes down to hearing God's word, soaking it in and applying it to our lives. When we come back, we're going to hear from former NFL kicker Matt Stover. This is Faith on the Field Show, presented by Cairn University. To Faith on the Field Show, presented by Cairn University. Rob Motti, Doug Horton, Pastor Kyle Horner. Matt Stover was a 12th round pick by the New York Giants in the 1990 NFL draft, back when the draft went, you remember when it
hit
12 rounds? Yeah. He spent his rookie season on injured reserve, but earned a ring when the Giants beat the Bills in the Super Bowl. Matt went to the Cleveland Browns and spent 5 seasons there, and then 13 more with the franchise after they moved to Baltimore and became the Ravens. He was an All-Pro in 2000 and earned another Super Bowl ring with the Ravens when they beat the Giants also. He finished his career in Indianapolis, and his last game was the Colts Super Bowl loss to the New Orleans Saints. I recently spoke to Matt Stover about his faith journey. Here's that interview. Matt, early in your career, you were at a Christian conference for pro athletes when you realized that you were treating the Lord as a, quote, open, closed door policy. I love that explanation. Can you explain that a little bit and how it allowed you to mature in your faith journey?
Well, you know, everybody says, not everybody, but anybody that says they're a Christian doesn't mean that they're truly a Christian per se. And the aspects is, you know, God your Lord. I mean, are you submitting to him daily, every minute, every second of the day? And so when I say open, closed door, it says, yeah, I was a good Christian on Sundays, going to church and hanging out, you know, but the rest of the week it was, you know, I kind of closed the door on him. Yeah, you know, that's, you know, I got everything taken care of that day. I'm good with God. And then I would go off and, fraternize a little bit, say it a little easier. And, so I, you know, in my mind, once I really truly understand that God wanted a relationship with me, and it was an intimate relationship with me, as is a marriage should be, and where you submit to one another, you become one, and, you put the other's needs above your own, and you want to please the other person, and you don't want to disobey, and you don't want to go against that relationship. That's what it means to me to do that on a daily and hourly and minute basis.
We spoke a few years ago when I wrote Football Faith, Matt, and you told me how Micah 6:8 was a verse that spoke to you. I'm going to tell everyone what it is. He has shown you, O mortal, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you? To act justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly with your God. First off, tell me the importance of acting justly in a world that is filled with injustice.
Thank you for proposing that, because if you look at our world today, it is a very selfish, self-centered, very egotistical type of culture. It's all about me, you know, self-esteem. And in my mind, God's saying, no. First of all, it's about me. And if you love me, you will do justice in this world. I think love will be the what really conquers all. It's so counterintuitive to selfish people to love others. That means that you're putting their needs above your own. And that's just one of the aspects of love. So I really believe that justice, in my mind, is acting in a way that honors the relationship and the love relationship that you have with God to others.
And part two of that verse, Matt, and this scripture is kind of like instructions from God. I consider it sort of a playbook on his expectations for us. Part two is to love mercy. And we're all sinners who need mercy, yet
it's often easier for us to ask for mercy than to show mercy. How can we change that?
You know, mercy in my mind is forgiving someone for something that they don't deserve to be forgiven for. And I say that because God has forgiven me when he didn't have to, but he wanted to because of the love that he has for me as one of his children. And to me, that is just a game changer because I didn't deserve it, but yet he died for me. His son did. And to me, that is the most merciful act you can do. And there are many times when people have wronged me and I've chosen to forgive them. Even though they didn't deserve it, God forgave me first and had mercy on me first. Therefore, I have to show the same mercy.
And number three in that verse, it says to walk humbly. Now, that could be a challenge for many of us in any walk of life, especially when we have success no matter what we do. You played 19 seasons in the NFL. You were won two Super Bowls. You were an All-Pro in 2000. Did you have any difficulty trying to walk humbly, and how did you navigate through that?
Well, I really love my career as a kicker. I'm extremely vulnerable. I think everybody can empathize with me because it's an extremely easy job to evaluate each and every kick, every game that I played, that I perform well or not. So from the vulnerability of life, I think that we all understand that life is short, it's fragile, it's hard, and we're all vulnerable. We all need help. And that God so much so sent his son down. God himself came down to earth and humbly came as a servant, one who died with no assets, right? Nothing to his name, no home, no clothes, barely. And here he is. He humbled himself to do that. Therefore, if I'm going to emulate who Jesus was on this earth, then therefore I need to do the same. And that is to not be prideful, boastful, to think that I'm all that. I learned a long time ago, humility goes a long way because people really want to see who Jesus is. And if you're claiming to be a Christian, they're watching you. They're seeing when things go bad or when you go through an injury or, hey, even when you're on top of the mountain kicking great in the Super Bowl and you take your team there, how are you going to respond to this? And I think that's a critical piece that even though Jesus will still be true, even though Matt Stover's life maybe not be perfect, I do believe that humility really creates that vision of what being a Christian.
Over the course of your career, were there players, coaches who influenced you in your walk with the Lord? And if so, who were they and how?
You know, when I got to the Cleveland Browns, a lot of the players, Brian Kinch and Brian Hansen, were two great guys. Anthony Pleasant, Mike Johnson, some of these guys at the Browns were phenomenal. Dave Bratton at the New York Giants really loved on me when I was still walking not very closely with the Lord. And these are chaplains, and Tom Petersburg, the Athletes in Action chaplain, was critical with my young walk, going to the Pro Athletes Outreach and seeing other players and their wives and finally hearing the gospel for the first time. And, you know, even though I heard it before, I wasn't listening. So, you know, there's numerous, you know, with Norm Evans to Tony Dungy and people that I walked with Peter Bowler on my team and James Jones. Trent Dilfer, all of these men really played a huge part in my Christian walk.
How important is it for guys who have that platform? We saw a lot of the Philadelphia Eagles last year step out and use their platform to glorify the Lord. When you have the spotlight on you, when you have people who are watching you, who are heaping praise upon you, especially in this day and age when you have a social media platform where you can relate to fans and reach out to fans, how important do you think it is for athletes to use that platform if they are believers to share the message of Christ?
Well, if it's authentic, it's a wonderful platform because being that if you're at the height of your, you know, professional career, an NFL player as an athlete, that's an amazing position and it can be used to, as a platform. But I'll say this, it's, you know, yes, you did the work. Yes, you have the talent, but God gave you everything that you have. And those who are authentic, in my mind, if they choose to do that, I absolutely admire that. I always point it up when I made a kick, but I also always point it up even if I missed a kick. Because I give glory in all things. I don't just give it in only in the, what we consider good. God considers even our failures a good thing, because there's no greater teacher in this world than failure. So that's how I govern my life, and I chose to do the same thing when I was playing. But I didn't want it to come across as some Bible beater, guy who was legalistic, and I wanted to be authentic. I wanted to be sincere. I wanted to be transparent, so that, again, I could be a beacon of light for those who may not understand who Christ is.
We're talking to former NFL kicker Matt Stover here on Faith on the Field show. Matt, you founded the Players Philanthropy Fund in 2011, and the goal is to meet the charitable needs of sports professionals. Can you tell us a little bit about it?
Absolutely. Thanks, Rob. When you look back at my career, I gave a lot of financial wealth away, and because it's all his anyways, and in order for me to honor that relationship, in the position I was, I created my own private foundation, was able to actually use my platform to go out and raise funds and utilize that, and also I used a donor advised fund called the National Christian Foundation during the course of my career when I was blessed enough to be able to sell a company. And I learned how to manage funds more simply, and therefore me and Seth McDonald and Emil Colina, my partners, we created the Players Philanthropy Fund as a donor advised fund. We now have over 70 clients that, we set up, contracts with that allows them to operate as if they have their own private foundation and actually come alongside of them, and they don't have to worry about the tax returns and the bookkeeping. We give them the nonprofit platform, and then they operate as if they had their own and not have all the legal issues that come along running their own private foundation. Because as well as I know, you can try to do something good but find yourself in trouble just because you didn't understand the law behind it. So we're doing this time in, time out. Every day we're operating and working with players all around the NFL, the Major League Baseball, the NBA, some big name players, and we are doing it in a fashion that is the most inexpensive in the market, because I believe that if we're doing a good job, we will get more and more people to come join us, and we'll scale to the point where our low fees will make sense for everybody to be able to use us.
I checked out the roster, and it is a who's who. There are some tremendous names on that. And now you guys have an event coming up, the second annual Beltway Boards and Brews Celebrity Cornhole Tournament. It's October 22nd. It is in Baltimore. How can fans, listeners attend or even donate if they can't make it out to the event?
Well, thanks. The Beltway Boards and Brews is an awesome opportunity for Players Philanthropy Fund to come into our community, work with a lot of the Ravens and the Orioles that'll be there, and we're gonna have a cornhole tournament, and it's gonna be a blast. People come in and pay to play with one of our celebrities. We're gonna have 32 celebrities there. We're gonna have 32 teams playing one another, and the benefits go to support the shortfall of cash that we have at the Players Philanthropy Fund to help these athletes and celebrities and others too to give away their funds in a more responsible way. And when you do that, you'll see that the effect is going to be over $5 million in 2018 will be given through these players' funds. In my mind, it's a purpose. It is a it gives me a sense of significance that allows me to still stay connected with the sports professional world, but also to help our community.
And that was Matt Stover. So much wisdom in that interview. We talked about listening in the open. I loved his thoughts on Micah 6:8. Mm-hmm. Pastor Kyle, give us your breakdown of that Bible verse.
It's actually the heartbeat of God right there, I think, for humanity. Jesus actually kind of encapsulates that same thought in the greatest two commandments, love God and then love people. When Micah 6:8 talks about justice, justice is actually the purpose for which we live out. Mercy is the environment in which we should live in. And a humility to, in a walk with God is actually the attitude we should have towards others. So it, those three things are should be active in our life all the time. I think justice is challenged in us because many times we filter our sense of justice through the emotional residue of our own experiences. Mm. So if a certain people group or a certain type of people, a certain gender of people, something goes wrong, something hurts us, we then filter justice through those things.
Rob, interesting.
You know, Rob, you and I have, and people do it all the time. You and I have talked very often about the promised land, and you have family in Palestine and Palestinian family, and they were displaced because of what went on with the formation of Israel. Mm-hmm. And here's where this is challenged because, you know, we forget many times when it comes to justice that justice is not a political issue, it's a people issue. That at the end of everything, we have to look at people, that God loves people. And that doesn't mean that there aren't things that need to change or things that need to be addressed. People may have a very strong biblical view that that certain area of land should belong to the Jewish nation of Israel. However, even if they believe that, they should understand people were displaced. Children lost friends. They lost communities. They were taken from schools. The people who had lived in certain areas for generations have been this way. When I hear it a lot in when there's a murder in the inner city, and people say, "Oh, it's just criminal killing criminal or drug dealer killing drug dealer." Hey, a mom lost a son.
Devaluing the human life.
Yes, correct.
It's horrible.
But because it's through our own personal experience, rather than understanding that justice from a godly point of view, justice is the administration of God's kingdom culture in the world around us. So all justice is the expression and the administration of a nation's culture, right? Because in some nations, certain things are illegal and certain things aren't illegal. And how justice is lived out there is through that nation's belief system, that culture. But we transcend our national culture. We transcend our generational culture. We as believers are living as citizens of heaven, so we have a kingdom culture. So how does God view people?
Yeah.
What's the kingdom culture that we need to bring into the world that elevates people's lives? And I think that's at the heartbeat of Micah 6:8. There's this amazing verse in Proverbs 8:20. It says, "I traverse the ways of righteousness in the midst of the paths of justice." Why I brought that out is because many times we are much more politically driven. Whatever side of the political aisle we view, that's how we view justice. And we forget that we have to traverse the road of righteousness while we're in the midst of justice. It's not just justice. It's are we handling righteousness? Are we acting right? Are we bringing the righteousness of God into the midst of that, the love of God, the mercy? And that's what Jesus did. John 1:17 says, grace and truth came in Jesus. Mm-hmm. And that's a tough tension, isn't it? When we have to live in truth, but also then have grace.
What you said is so powerful, and I hope people can listen to that as you see all the wars going on on social media and the back and forth and everything else, to understand it's about people.
It's all about people.
It's about people. Doug, real quick, you are part three of that verse talks about walking humbly. Mm-hmm. For so many reasons I don't have enough time to get into, you're one of the most humble people that I know. How do you stay grounded?
First of all, I appreciate that because I've struggled with that, with an ego. But, you know, Kyle, you bring up some great points. And I think being humble is not thinking yourself better than anybody else. And when you're thinking about justice and you're thinking about racial groups, it's one racial group thinking that they're better than another one.
Yeah.
And they think that their justice of my group is better than you, so I can do whatever I want to you.
Yes.
And that's not right.
Oh, but Christians feel the same way. At times, that I think, Doug, is the hardest thing because the Bible says in Philippians 2 that we need to consider others better than ourselves and to put yourself in that position of humility, because that was the attitude of Christ. I did not come to be served, but to serve.
People have others. Been murdered in the name of Christ.
No, absolutely.
You know, and just because somebody's thought each other are better. So yeah. I have great friends, great family, and just try and think that I didn't achieve anything by myself. You know, Rob, you know, quick plug, we have these shirts that we just made. You know, it's my story, but it's his glory, right?
Yeah,
I mean,
good.
It's if I keep God at the center of everything, then I realize it's not about me.
My story, his glory, your story, his glory, their story, his glory. It's always his glory. When we come back on Faith on the Field show, presented by Cairn University, we're going to hear from Matt Johnson from Joy FM Sports, Alabama. On Faith on the Field show presented by Cairn University. Rob, Doug, Pastor Kyle joining us now for our Faith in the Field segment via Skype for those watching is Matt Johnson. He is the sports director at the Joy FM Sports in Alabama. First off, thank you for bringing our show into a new market, Matt. We truly appreciate that.
Absolutely.
And why don't you tell us about the Joy FM Sports app and everything that you guys are doing with high school sports?
Well, yeah, thanks for having me on, and it's an honor to have you guys as part of our broadcasting programming. We started Joy FM Sports just about a little less than a year ago. We've been doing high school football mostly. We've been adding some things along the way, but with that, we also started a streaming channel, and it is a 24/7 streaming channel that is dedicated to Christian sports. Wow. And we don't just We do some programming like you guys, Faith on the Field. We do Sports Spectrum. We do Unpacking It. We got another one that we're working on as well. And we do that. Plus, we also re-air some of our football and our we just did a volleyball game last week for the first time. You talk about the hardest thing I've ever had to do was to do it a volleyball game. That was not easy to do. But we're doing other things, you know, like basketball. And we're trying to bring in some of these private Christian schools that don't really get a lot of attention, you know, in a lot of ways. And I had a connection to one of them, and that's kind of how it started. And it's been kind of a fun thing to kind of watch how this has kind of grown. We started this just 3 years ago with just doing high school football, and that's all we did. And now it's grown to kind of our own kind of brand. And it's, you know, with this 24/7 streaming channel. 6 months ago, I wouldn't have envisioned where we were, where we are right now with that. But the option, you know, with technology and the way things are going, Joy FM is a Christian radio station in the Southeast. They've got several stations in Florida, Georgia, and Alabama, and we're able to use their mobile app and add and they have different channels. So they have different channels like music. You can listen to old Christian music. You can also listen to hard rock Christian music.
But then, there you go. Have a contemporary.
Come on, let's
right? Everything.
There's a little bit there somewhere, yeah. I think. And we've been able to add a sports channel to all that.
Wow.
And it's been kind of neat to be able to see how this thing has just kind of developed and grow. God's opened doors with you guys and being able to partnership with that. I would have never thought reaching out to guys like you and Jason Romano with Sports Spectrum that you guys would actually respond, but you did. And
well, Doug's a nice guy.
Yeah,
we try.
He is.
He's all right.
For an Eagles fan, right? For an Eagles fan, Matt, you could say it.
but it's just been great to kind of see how God's opened these doors and allowed us to kind of create something that I don't think I've never been able to find anywhere, which is a 24/7 sports Christian channel, and so. It's just a little bit – it's different than what you would normally listen to if you turn on sports radio. Rob, I heard you say one time you didn't like listening to sports radio in Philly, but this is
– Although I'm part of it.
Although it's on it, yeah.
Oh, you're on it, right.
Yeah.
It's just completely different. When you're talking about this guy didn't do this or this guy didn't do this this past week, and we're talking about faith and how to build your relationship with Christ with sports added into it.
Yeah.
And talking to guys that are, you know, in sports that are trying to walk that Christian walk in a culture that is really kind of tough to walk in. So it's really kind of neat to see how that's kind of developed and go.
Well, we're ready to take over that market all down there, Alabama, Florida, anywhere that Joy FM wants to put our show on. We're ready to take over. So we appreciate that.
Matt, take us back a little bit. It was great talking to you, get to know you a little bit. Take us back to how you actually got started in this. I think it's a pretty cool story because now you're broadcasting, and I don't know that that was always your lifetime goal, was to be a sports broadcaster, especially for high school games. But God's moving very quickly down there, and tell us kind of how you got started with that.
Yeah, I worked at a Christian school. I was actually God moved me from Texas to Alabama, and I got to go to work at a Christian school to help run the business side of the things of the actual school itself. And the headmaster left. They looked at me and said, "We don't have anybody else. You need to run the school." And so I was like, "Really?" So I started running the school, and so I started looking at things that how do we become competitive with other schools? Yeah. And one of the things was we needed football. We didn't have a football team. Every other school had a football team in Alabama. It's Alabama.
Yeah.
You know, it's like Texas.
Yeah.
You, that is part of it. We didn't have a football team. And so we had tried several times down in the past, but for whatever reason, God's timing was perfect and we got it started while I was there. And then God called me to work full time in a church. And so I kind of left the school and I'm like, that was kind of my baby, was the football program, getting it started. And so they started working, trying to keep this thing on the radio, because this was something that I had talked about. Hey, you know, as far as a marketing point, we need to have our football games on the radio. That's going to attract kids. People are going to hear, hey, you hear this school, you hear this school all the time. So they kind of started doing that. And the guy that was kind of running the play-by-play stuff, he knew me. He and I worked together at one point, and he said, hey, I don't have anybody to help me with color analyst for one of these games. Will you come help me? You know the program and everything. I said, okay, I'll see what that's like. And I'll tell you, I was a horrible color analyst.
Not as easy as it sounds, right?
No. And he's like, you need to talk more. I'm like, I'm trying. You know? So we got through that season, and he got a job working with the football team. And he said, I want you to take this over. And I'm like, Ooh. Are you serious?
Wow.
So I didn't know what to do. I knew we needed to have a new system altogether. The equipment was bad, and the radio station wasn't even actually in the area where we were covering the football game. And so I knew one person in radio, and it was Earl Kelly at the Joy FM. And that's why I called him. I said, I need help. I know you guys have been doing football with a local high school, and I just need some help on what kind of equipment to use and that kind of thing. And so he said, let me come talk to you. He came in, we sat down, and he said, we want to take you guys on. It's time for a transition for us, and we're ready to take you guys and let you broadcast on our station. And I thought, this is perfect, because we always wanted to be on a Christian station. That is the Christian station in our market. So here we go. And we started this football broadcast. I remember driving to the first game, and I've got butterflies in my stomach because I realized I've never done this before. I've never done play-by-play before. I haven't even had any way to practice it.
Yeah.
So we get out there and we start going, and about after the first round of series of downs and everything that the school had, I never thought about it again. It just kind of just went. So I know the Lord was kind of helping me along with that. And since then, he's impressed upon me very early on. This is supposed to be a ministry. This is not just a football broadcast. Right. This is a ministry that we're doing. We're on a Christian station. We're covering mostly Christian schools. So we started doing some things like pregame prayer. We did a pregame prayer. We pull a student from the school that we're covering and say, hey, we want you to pray for the school. Just like you were, you know, a lot of schools are still able to do it. Pray before the game on the public address. We have them pray for us for the game on the air. Then at halftime, we do a interview with somebody from the school. It could be anybody. We interviewed a home ec teacher once, but we softball coach, basketball coach, anybody. And we want to know what God's doing in their world of that school, you know, whatever it is. And then at the end of that, we stop and we pray for that person. We ask them specifically, how can we pray for you? And so many times they say wisdom. And so we pray for them right there on the air. And then we don't like it. and it happens because it's football, but we do have injuries. And when we do have an injury on the field, if it's something more serious that we can tell than just like a cramp or something, we stop and pray right there for that young man. And so many times we have been in the middle of the prayer and you'll hear cheering in the background because that young man got up. And so it's such a cool thing. I think the first time that ever happened was our second game that we ever broadcast. And we had a very serious injury on the field. And we could tell that was what was going on. We didn't know exactly what. Turned out he had a dislocated elbow. So we're getting ready to pray. And it was just, I was not planning that. It just, the Spirit said, hey, you're going to pray right now. And I looked at my color analyst. And I said, Mike, I want, because he's a pastor at a church here in town. And I said, I want you to pray for this young man. And he said, yeah, that's right. He starts talking a little bit. And I said, wait a minute. I want you to look at the 30-yard line. There are students, football players from both teams huddled together, and they are praying right now. And if you look just to the left, you will see a referee with his hat off, and he's praying with them. Come on. And then to me, that was like the moment where God was saying, this is what this is about. You are to bring prayer, and you are to bring, you know, we want to glorify God. We want to identify things that he's doing in a football game that is more than just between the numbers. And yeah, we want to win and we want to call a good game. We do. We love it. But when we see things like that and we see the student body taking it upon themselves to stop and pray because they realize that that is more important than them playing a football game, a very competitive game. It was a rival game. That was a really cool thing. It was a very moving thing to see.
It's awesome.
Yeah.
You don't that's get any incredible. More faith on the field than that. No, right? That's literally good.
Faith in the field and faith on the field.
Prayer changes everything, doesn't it?
That's right.
Amen.
So, Matt, where do you see the direction? Just real quick as we finish up here, where do you see the direction? Obviously, God's moving very quickly. Where do you see this changing over the next couple months or years?
I have no idea. you know, early on in this, God was speaking to me and saying, hey, something's going on here. And I just said, Lord, whatever you want to do, I'm just humbled. When you look at throughout history, when God has picked somebody to fulfill his purpose, it's a very humbling thing. To me, it's very humbling. I take it very serious. So I want to do what he wants to do. I'm excited about what the doors he's opened. And I think he is going to continue to expand and bring more programming to us. And I think more people are going to find us and they're going to listen to us and say, this is a pretty cool thing that we've got going on with the Christian sports.
That's awesome, Matt. And we really appreciate being part of that. We thank you Absolutely. For joining us. That's Matt Johnson. He is the sports director at Joy FM Sports, joining us today on Faith in the Field, That's on right. Faith on the Field show. Doug, let everyone know where they can follow us and how they can catch up on all the past episodes, how they can find us on the app and everything else, including some of our Birds of Prey book sales and our online orders and everything else.
Yeah, the best way to find us is on faithinthefieldshow.com. Everything's on there. You can buy our t-shirts. You know, we have a new apparel that's out there. Your book is a great place to get that. And, you know, if you buy it
signed
online. Signed copies, absolutely. Go. So Rob will sign that. We'll mail it out to you. So faithinthefieldshow.com. And please follow us social media on Faith in the Field on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. And download our podcast off iTunes, Faith in the Field Show. It's the best way to share it out and listen on the go.
Hey, love it. Love it. Big thanks to Matt Stover, former NFL kicker, for joining us. For Matt Johnson for being part of our show. Thank you to our incredible production staff, Kay, John, Darlene, and Dan Celia for giving us this FISM TV platform. Next week, we're going to have Hall of Fame coach Tony Dungy on the show.
Yes.
Hall of Fame.
Fantastic.
For Doug and Kyle, I'm Rob Motti reminding you, make a difference. Be a blessing.